got your ticket to town.
Welcome into the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Overtime coming at you for the next 2 hours. Jake Miller alongside Josh Stackhouse, Brett Hollander, and Davis Rangy right off the top. Former number one overall recruit, Imani Bates, has announced that he has committed to Eastern Michigan. Wow.
Yeah, he's going back home. What a fall.
What a just disastrous.
I know.
Disastrous situation for the young man.
Yeah, no, I don't really wish ill on him because, you know, he wasn't really a volunteer and just he never really played for Memphis even to really make him a difference.
Got some inside scoop on that one.
What you got? Ooh.
Basically, when he went the portal from Memphis, he thought he was going to have tons and tons of offers. Basically, Eastern Michigan, and I think he was looking at overtime elite to go there. But when he wanted to come back to Memphis, when he realized he didn't have any options, Penny basically was like, "Nah, we're not doing this again."
Oh,
so
that's so
basically back to his hometown of Michigan.
Dang.
Some luck.
Yeah, I heard that he literally had no offers from really any major schools, and if they did, they kind of just never really bit the bullet.
Well, you know, the narrative floated around for a minute was he just did not get along with Penny. It's like he thought he was going to be a one and done. But he wasn't, and there were so many issues behind the scenes. That's what we've heard. And it was just never going to work there. Why not just go to the G League?
Yeah.
Go play for the G League Ignite.
It's not a bad idea, to be honest, but
you're guaranteed a salary.
What is it, the D League now?
The G League.
Is it G League?
G League.
It was the D League. Now it's the G League, sponsored by Gatorade.
That's right.
Yeah.
It used to be the D League. That's such a terrible name.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I probably would have gone to the G League, honestly. Get paid nice. I mean, what NIL did is to get out of Eastern Michigan?
Zero.
Yeah, right? Like, there's.
I mean, you're not going to get anything out of that.
You'll get some small town, like, commercials, I guess, you know, sponsoring a couple restaurants, maybe fast food restaurants, get you, I don't know. I have no idea what you could get out there. Yeah.
I mean, free snowplow.
I don't even know what's in Eastern Michigan.
Ypsilanti, Michigan.
Such a man, dude. That's gotta stink. That's gotta humble you, doesn't it?
Right.
I mean, like you said, man, he came out thinking he was about to just be one and done.
Yeah.
He's about to be the savior Memphis has wanted. Yada yada yada, and man, landed back in hometown of Michigan.
He was called the next KD coming out of high school.
He was.
You know, life comes at you fast. But I wish him luck.
Yeah, really, because.
Do you think this speaks as to how Penny is developing his players down at Memphis?
I've had this argument tons of times with my friends, but, I mean, if you look, it's a lottery pick with Wiseman. Wiseman played 3 games there. Then the whole NCAA deal came down. He sat out the rest of the year.
Mm-hmm.
You look at Precious Achiuwa, who got drafted by the Heat the year after that.
Where's he at now?
He's with the Raptors.
That's what I thought.
He was solid for him. I feel like they developed him pretty well.
Yeah, especially in the playoffs there. You saw him kind of come into himself there in the end.
Right. Precious is a nice player. And then this past year with Jalen Duren. But I feel like Duren was already a beast. Like, he could have gone anywhere in the country, and he still would have been a high draft pick just because of his build. And he was already NBA ready from high school, body-wise.
The James Wiseman situation, I'm glad you brought his name up. Did anyone else think that that was just really petty of the NCAA to bring down that ruling?
I mean,
rules are rules.
Yeah, but, I mean, I don't know. It's not like he's not the first player to do it.
It's
crazy to think that that would be the case. But
how do we think these guys get to, like, IMG?
Yeah.
Or other prep schools, Montverde, Oak Hill. How do you think those guys get there?
High school basketball is, like, way over my head, dude.
Don't they get recruited there?
What's that?
Don't they get recruited there?
You can get recruited, but
yeah, Luke Kane got recruited to go there.
Exactly. He got recruited to go to IMG.
You get, like, scholarships and stuff to go to these private schools, basically.
True, but they got to get there somehow.
They still got
to
pay, I think, though, too.
I have no idea. I mean, I'll tell you, high school sports is such an insane landscape now with all these prep academies. How do you recruit a child out of like middle school? That's crazy, man. That's how big of a like impact football is on America, that you just you're talking like 6 year olds. I mean, those random kids that get looks at from like Alabama in like the eighth grade.
Well, there's one up in Ohio as well. What is it, Spire Academy?
Yeah, Spire.
Spire, yep.
Remember that 7'8" dude?
God.
That was just...
They just be pulling kids out of nowhere, too.
Yeah.
Like, where do they... Who is finding these kids? Who has this in... Oh, man.
And if you look back with the Wiseman case in Memphis, that ruling was based on allegedly Penny paying the family for him to move down from Nashville, where he's playing at Ensworth, to East. So the whole thing went back to high school, but like y'all said, high school sports are getting really shady, maybe even more shady than college.
Well, it's more so on the basketball front than it is the football front.
I don't even know. You can probably,
I mean, there's some big money floating around in high school basketball right now that a lot of people just ignore.
It's because that summer league and stuff like that, and like, what is it, AN1? Not AN1, but
AAU.
Like AAU and stuff, yeah. And then you have all these, like, summer course, like, teams that are just filled to the brim with five stars. It's just a whole team of five stars that just go around the country.
I mean, the different summer leagues, I mean, you got the YBOA, you got AAU, all three major shoe brands, Nike, Under Armour, and Adidas, have their own, like, basically version of AAU now, where they just come and play in these showcases. I mean, there's so much money floating around with high school basketball, summer league ball, travel ball, all that, and it's really hard to keep up with.
I couldn't imagine, like, being a kid and being, like, a five-star recruit. I just, God, dude, as dumb as I was in high school, man.
And with these, like Jake was saying, with the EYBL circuit and the UAA and the Adidas Gauntlet, like all these different tournaments, you have basically they just throw together, like try to throw together quote unquote super teams. So you'll show up to a tournament and all of a sudden there'll be a five star on your roster that you've never practiced with before or done anything with. So they just try to build all these teams together and you're just playing with them at random tournaments across the country. Like that's how it goes. Each weekend you're in a different city and you may or may not have the same teammates that you had the weekend before.
Yeah, that's the one thing about those. But, like, AAU, you know, you for sure, like, you know your teammates. Like, and they're usually the same group that you played with a year before, years past. That was my experience, at least. But, yeah, like I said, there's so much money that floats around that. And I don't care what anybody says. Zion Williamson did not go to Duke for free.
Oh.
Nobody's going anywhere for free. And they haven't gone anywhere for free in a long, long time. 865-546-8200. Your number if you want to hop on with us. Let's go to TJ, the Kentucky fan. What's up, TJ?
Hey, what's up, guys? How y'all doing?
Doing well.
Hey, I don't know if y'all seen this story coming out, especially just now on Twitter. But, you know, Freddie Freeman fired his agent yesterday. Well, come to find out, apparently his agent didn't even tell Freddie of the final offer that Atlanta issued, and Freddie had no idea that Atlanta even offered anything, and he didn't do it because he said Freddie would have taken the Atlanta offer. That's pretty messed up, man.
So you're saying that...
Yeah, I have it pulled up right here, actually.
So what you're saying is Freddie Freeman had an offer made by Atlanta,
yeah,
and his agent just didn't tell him about it.
That's right. I don't know how much you put into it. I forgot the baseball guy, the MLB guy on MLB Network. He's popular. He's like the, you know. And Doug Gottlieb came out and said, Casey Close never told Freddie Freeman about the Braves' final offer. That is why Freeman fired him. He found out in Atlanta this weekend that the Braves actually did offer him before trading for Olsen.
Isn't that Dansby Swanson's agent, too?
So.
I'm pretty sure they share the same agent, too. I'd be interested to see if he gets rid of him, too.
That guy might have just killed his career as a sports agent.
Well, that's the thing. Dansby's in a career or a final contract year.
Yeah.
Like, he's a free agent.
Yeah, so. he can get big money this year, too. Well, you know.
I would still take Olsen over Freeman, but, man, you've got to hate it for Freddie now knowing this stuff, man.
I mean, you saw the emotion that he had this past weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, the dude was sitting there sobbing.
You know how hard it was for him to leave.
I mean, he built himself
oh,
there.
Oh, yeah.
Coming up through the minors with the Mississippi Braves, the Gwinnett Stripers. He won a World Series just last year with this team that helped him build his career.
Well, I mean, not only that, but Freeman was with the Braves when they only won 40 games a year, man. Like, he's been yeah. through it all, the highs and the lows. That's just rough, man. That's rough. Hey, D. Beckwith, I know I talked to you a little bit about it last night, but D. Beckwith going to Kentucky looks like he's going to be just, you know, a third or fourth string guy running back. You guys played him at defensive back?
No, we played him. No, we played him at running back. He didn't see much playing time, and when we did bring him in, you know, we were used to Tyon Evans, Jabari Small, and those guys with the speed. And D. Beckwith entered the game, and he looked like a galloping horse. He wasn't really that fast, and I want to say there was some power there, but we didn't really use him in short yardage situations. It was basically in garbage time.
Yeah, you know, it's weird. Kentucky yesterday got D. Beckwith, and they signed the Sam Houston State running back, who helped win the FCS championship, I think, last year or 2 years ago. But them getting two running backs on the same day kind of smells, you know, smoke smoking, if you know what I mean. I think Chris Rodriguez is going to be suspended a couple of games at the beginning of the season. So,
yeah, and that makes sense because, you know, we never really knew what happened there. It's like, okay, he missed his court date, and then another warrant got put out for his arrest.
They held that story tight to the chest, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have no idea what happened either, man. Hey, y'all have a good night, man.
Appreciate it, TJ. So, Brett, you got the story pulled up?
Well, I mean, I was reading what he was reading from Gottlieb and just talking about – that's why he was so emotional, too, because he also found out this past weekend in Atlanta the deal was on the table, and he didn't find out about it. Chipper Jones told him.
That is –
I've never heard of such a thing. Evidently, it happens a lot, but you never see it like that.
It makes you wonder how many times that's actually happened. And
he has a no movement clause. He's stuck there for 6 years. I don't know how that works.
Wow.
He's got a no trade clause. He's got a 6-year contract with the Dodgers.
Oh, that's.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, it is his home, so it's not like the worst thing that could have ever happened to the man. Like, he is comfortable out in L.A., but man, dude, 15 years with the Braves, it's just a relationship. It takes some time to get over, man.
Like, yeah, I mean, and you saw how emotional he was, and now I guess we know why he was so emotional.
Yeah.
I mean, seeing all those guys, but they just played, like, a couple weeks ago, too, in L.A.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, he wasn't nearly as emotional. Of course, he wasn't back in Atlanta. But...
Yeah, he got so much fan love, man. Oh, yeah. I thought the Braves fans did a great job just welcoming him back.
He's
man.
A legend in there.
I'll tell you what, though. Like, that guy, his agent, I mean, he basically just –
No, he's just no longer.
Oh, he just committed career suicide. I mean,
he got the extra year and more money from L.A., and I don't know. It's just wrong if it's all true. It sounds like it is, though.
That is a travesty on so many different levels. You know, I'm a casual pro baseball watcher. Imagine this happening to one of your favorite NFL players, one of your favorite NBA players.
Oh, yeah. It'd be just, like, I mean, if that's how Tom Brady left New England, how many, like, oh my gosh, the place would burn down if it was because of Tom Brady's agent that he didn't stay in New England.
Yeah.
Like, just imagine that fan base finding that out and losing their mind on this agent.
Or Peyton Manning in
India. Yeah. If that's how he got to Denver, which we all know is his neck thing. And
yeah, the Colts were just... Like, we don't want to take the risk.
We'll take this other injury-prone dude over here. This guy's going to retire.
Yeah, we'll win 3 games a year.
Yeah.
Rather than potentially win another
Super
Bowl.
I can't. That is an insane. Like you said, I mean, it's probably more than likely true as true can be if he's fired the guy.
Yeah, because, I mean, it was weird that he fired him right after the Braves and Dodgers series.
How maddening that had to be for Freddie to find out just from Chipper Jones, too. Just having a casual conversation. He's just like, yo, why didn't you accept that final offer we threw at you?
So like, do you
a great number.
Do you tell him he's fired and then break his jaw, or do you break his jaw and then tell him he's fired?
I just like
that's what I would have done.
Throw a little uppercut and then say, "Hey, bud, you don't work here no more."
Do the big damage first, break the jaw, then fire.
Yeah, 100%. You gotta just walk up to him calmly, collectively, and just whoop-ah! Knock him smooth back into next year, and then fire him. Make sure he stays.
Or do you make like Bobby Hill? That's my purse. I don't know. You give him a swift kick to the groin.
That's my purse. I don't know you. That's my favorite episode of King of the Hill. Easily. Yeah, 100. Dude, I mean, how do you keep that man as your agent if he has? I want to know who his other like players are.
I'm sure we can look it up.
His net worth is over $70 million.
Well, not no more.
No.
he might be worth $50
What's
a full
his name?
Tank of gas.
Chris something?
Casey Close.
Casey Close. That's a pretty clean name, though.
Yeah.
So Freddie got 165 from the Dodgers. Braves offered 135. Is the difference between $6.48 million and $5.4 million for him, which translates to roughly $500K after taxes.
That's nothing, dude. God, yeah, the Braves could have kept him.
Net worth is over $70 million.
That's insane, dude. The Braves kept him. But again, yeah, they did get Matt Olson, which is a great replacement if you're going to replace him. Younger, basically, can become the same player almost.
See here. Jason Hayward, Clayton Kershaw, Zach Greinke. Those are just some of his clients.
That's insane.
Jeff Schwartz.
Those names? Oh, my God.
You had Ryan Howard also.
Oh, man.
Jason Hayward, man.
There's no telling what all – and another Atlanta connection there with Jason
Hayward. Yeah, they came up together.
Yeah.
That's crazy, dude. So, like, do you expect all these people to be dropping this fool? Because that's just a breach of trust.
Absolutely.
That's such a breach of trust. I mean, you're supposed to be best friends.
Yeah, I mean, they're not. That's
basically
the thing.
A lot of agents and players, you're supposed to be, like, as closer than close.
I want to touch on this when we get done – with our next guest. Coming up next, we got Ryan Shumpert from Rocky Top Insider joining us right here on Overtime. Stay with us. More Fan Run Radio coming up.
Hey, Russell Smith.
Welcome back. Overtime continues. Pleased to be joined by Ryan Shumpert of Rocky Top Insider. What's going on, Ryan?
Not much. How we doing?
Living the dream, man. Living the dream. Big news off the top. John Fulkerson has decided he will begin his pro career in Belgium.
Yeah, how about that? You know, I was kind of one that, after 6 years at Tennessee, and obviously a really bright guy who I think has a bright future off the court, I thought he might just move on to the next chapter of life, but Fulkerson decides he's got a little bit more basketball in him and decides to head overseas, and the team he's playing for actually is joining a new league. He said it's a Belgium team and had been in a Belgium National League, and that team is going to be in a joint Belgium-Netherlands league here moving forward. So an interesting kind of development in European basketball, and then certainly an interesting development for Fulkerson, who decides to prolong his basketball career.
Absolutely. And we see this quite a bit, too, with guys. You know, they don't really work out in the NBA. They don't work out in the G League. And it's like, okay, well, I still want to make money doing something that I love. So they go overseas, you know, some of these European leagues. And we've seen even Marshall Henderson, I think, went to Iraq at one point. And yeah. It's really cool to see.
No, it really is. And there's so many leagues. I mean, basketball is really I was going to say exploded. I'm not sure if I could really say that because I don't know enough about the history. But basketball in Europe is very popular, to my understanding. Kind of the second most popular sport, obviously pretty distant behind soccer. But there's tons of leagues, and there's tons of opportunities for guys to play. And you know, I actually have a friend who went to high school with me who's overseas playing in Germany right now in tons of leagues. And in those top leagues, really good money, too. I know some players who have had options to stick around in the G League. And the money, at the top levels of Europe is better, and they decide to go play over there. I don't particularly think that this Belgium league is one of the top leagues in Europe, but still a solid league nonetheless, and a chance, like you said, for Fulkerson to continue to play the sport that he loves.
Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things we see with a lot of the WNBA players is you see a lot of them going overseas. You know, we have the unfortunate situation right now. You know, Brittany Griner's got herself in. But women, you know, tend to make more money playing overseas than what they do in the WNBA. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's my understanding. You know, I don't know the exact details of it, but I think there's options out there that are pretty similar in some of these top leagues. And obviously, like you said, Brittany Griner's probably a good example of that.
And jumping to football, you know, we got or had a big recruiting weekend this past weekend with Frantz Malinioa coming in. Nico does his official visit. How well do you feel about going into July 4th? Do you think we're going to land Malinioa?
That's an interesting one. I mean, I think Tennessee's right there in the top group, and you know, I don't follow recruiting day-to-day as closely as some do, but it seemed like Tennessee made a really good impression on him. It seems like Tennessee, Miami, maybe USC kind of being a dark horse in there, and I think Tennessee left a really good impression, and I think some of the Pacific Islander ties there, obviously Nico and his family was on campus as well as Francis's family. So I think that was a really good impression Tennessee made and a really good connection they were able to build. But and that's kind of the nature, it's probably really been the nature of recruiting for a long time, but especially and maybe more so in summer now, in July of 2022 with the NIL, that stuff can change at any minute, and those recruitments are extremely fluid. But I think Tennessee's right there in the top group and certainly could receive some really good news on Monday from a top 10 player nationally.
Yeah, and you know, you think about, you know, Frantz Malinioa, you think about Shadavian Bradley, Hunter Osborne, that whole group of guys. If you were to land all of those guys, you're potentially sitting in a top five class. And that's something we've not seen since, you know, the Butch Jones era. Granted, that didn't pan out, you know, whether that be lack of player development or whatever it may be, but you are really pushing for a top five class if you land all those guys.
You really are. And, you know, you're probably not going to land every single one of those guys. And,
right.
And you've kind of seen that in the last few weeks where Tennessee misses out on a Cardale Tate or a Tamarion Parker. But I think what has to be exciting, you know, for Tennessee is that they're just in deeper on so many of these guys. I think even more than you go back to Jeremy Pruitt, and he had a couple good classes at Tennessee. I think his last full class landed, I guess his last class period, landed in the top 10 nationally, but weren't just nearly as many big-time top 100, top 200 names that they were in deep on really throughout, you know, at this stage in the game. And you see it every year. You saw it last year where Tennessee obviously didn't have a whole lot of momentum recruiting in the summer months, and names pop up in December when coaching changes happen and players are looking for new destinations. So there's always going to be guys, blue-chip recruits to find then. And Tennessee, I think, has done a good job of that with Pruitt and obviously, like I referenced last year, with Heupel. But I think you're right. You go back to those 2014, 2015 classes with Butch Jones when you find this many guys that Tennessee is really deep on in this stage in the recruiting cycle. And, you know, like you said, Tennessee already has three top 100 recruits committed. Obviously, Malagoa would be another top 10 one, another five-star. Bradley, I think Cameron Seldon is just right outside the top 100. A bunch of guys that are have the potential to be top 100 recruits at Tennessee, I think, is certainly in a good spot to land. Maybe not a lock to land those guys, but Tennessee is certainly in it as thick as anybody else.
Absolutely. And let's jump down to the swamp and the disaster that is unfolding before our eyes. I don't even know what to think about it at this point. It's like you've got transfers going out. You had transfers coming in. And these were guys that were highly rated recruits. You know, Jacob Copeland, you remember that commitment, you know, between Tennessee,
certainly,
Florida, and Alabama. Mordecai McDaniel committed to Tennessee and then flips to Florida late. And those are the guys, you know, high four stars, Jacob Copeland, borderline five star. That is, they're transferring out. And you had Billy Napier send an open letter to the fans this past Friday that seemed very Butch Jones-esque.
You're right. And it's a wild development, and I think just kind of goes back to what we were just talking about, of how much recruiting has changed even in the last 5 years. One, with this, the process is, you know, continually is more and more sped up, which I guess has really been more of a development that had begun before but has been expedited by the early signing date in December, and then the NIL stuff. And I think it seems like Florida, you know, I don't, obviously don't cover that program on a day-to-day basis, but it seems like they don't have the deep wallets that maybe some other schools in the SEC, some other schools in their state, when you look at Miami and certainly Florida State too, has. And to me, that's what I took, that Billy Napier message. I mean, I was pretty desperate to have a post like that in late June, six or seven months after he took the job.
Right.
And that's kind of a a dire post, and that doesn't mean that Napier won't get it turned around and Florida won't get the recruiting turned around, but that to have to send a message like that so early on, and it would, to me, I took it as a plea to people, you need to open up your checkbooks if we're going to recruit at the highest level, is certainly, one, an interesting development, and certainly a poor development for Florida.
And it's really strange, you know, seeing that letter because, you know, from your takeaway, and you look back at what he said a couple of weeks ago when he was saying, we're not going to get in these NIL battles. We're not going to do this. We're not going to do that. And here he is sending this open letter, and it's like, man, you're going to have to pony up. And when you start looking back at Florida, you know, everyone wants to poke fun at Tennessee. You know, we've seen it for the past 10 years, 12 years, really 14 years at this point, since 2008. But Florida, as far as coaching stability, has been just as dysfunctional, if not more dysfunctional, than Tennessee ever since Steve Spurrier left.
You're right, and it's kind of something I say all the time. You know, people talk about how long Tennessee's losing streak is to Alabama. I think maybe 14 or 15 years now. And you know, I always say, man, Alabama. There's not a whole lot of teams that are beating Alabama.
Right.
But you know, Tennessee certainly, you know, would want to have a couple wins in that stretch. You go back to Saban's first year in 2007, I guess the first loss in the losing streak. Obviously, that was not a great Alabama team and a Tennessee team that won the East. Obviously, Tennessee had chances Kiffin's year and then in 2015 with Jones. But there's no shame in that. Tennessee's streak, I guess it's only, the streak is only, what, 4 years or four straight losses to Florida. But the run of only one win in what's going on 17, 18 years now since that 2004 season, there's a lot more shame in that because Tennessee has been just as talented as Florida has been, really since Urban Meyer left, over the last decade at this point. Tennessee has had teams that have been just as talented as Florida, and you hit the nail on the head at a lot of times. Now, Florida's had more success in the middle of there, but at the same time, Florida really has been just as dysfunctional as Tennessee for a lot of those stretches. There's just certainly more talent in the state of Florida, and that those rosters have had more talent, and Florida's done a good job of capitalizing on it. And certainly, now you haven't had a situation where, you know, Jim McElwain wins the SEC East back-to-back years and gets fired the next season. Certainly, Tennessee isn't in a position to do that, but there's certainly been a lot of turnover and a lot of dysfunction at Florida, and it really seems like this NIL stuff and maybe the wallets in Gainesville not being as deep as Napier would like is a little bit of a equalizer when it comes to recruiting and the in-state advantage that the Gators have.
And that's weird to me because, you know, you sit here and you look from the outside looking in. It's like, oh, well, it's Florida. They've got alumni. They've got X amount of students. But people forget how selective that university is, and there's not as many alumni of that university as you would think there would be because, you know, UCF is the biggest school in the state of Florida.
Just like, you're absolutely right.
Just like MTSU is the biggest state or the biggest school in the state of Tennessee.
Yeah.
You're right. I mean, that's a great point, and I think one that doesn't really get thought of much is that Florida donor base, that Florida graduates, it's just not nearly as big as a pool as a lot of these SEC schools. It's not as big as a pool as Tennessee, Alabama, Georgia. You can go up and down the list. And I think you're absolutely right. That's something that kind of gets lost in the shuffle. And that's something that's been able to have been kind of glided over in the past. And it hasn't been as big as a deal as it is now that Florida's donor base isn't as big as other schools. But now that you kind of get some of this NIL stuff and some of these recruiting wars, at least more publicly, turn into just bidding wars, I guess. And you know, I think that stuff's been going on for a long time, but I think the number value is certainly a lot higher now, and I think that exposes some of Florida's weaknesses as a program.
Good stuff. Ryan, tell us where we can find your stuff.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at rshump00. That's rshump00. And then all of our stuff on rockytopinsider.com and then at Rocky Top Insider as well on Twitter.
Good stuff. Ryan, appreciate it, my man. We'll do it again soon.
Can't wait. Sounds great. Appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely. Ryan Shumpert, Rocky Top Insider. Hit him up on Twitter, rockytopinsider.com. Let's keep things rolling. Go right back to the G3 Help Me Hotline and talk to Phil. What's up, Philly?
What do you say, Jake Snake?
Philly.
That's a pretty cool guest there.
Oh, Ryan Shumpert, Rocky Top Insider.
Brought some knowledge.
I guess you have to get Fabulous on there sometime, too. I think he's still over there, isn't he?
Yeah, I need to get Rick on here sometime, don't I?
Yeah, I talked about Tennessee basketball, but y'all talking about Florida. They won three national championships, and Urban Meyer got them two, and Spurrier got them one. And all honesty, Miami, Florida, and Florida State have done just as much or more than they have in the history of their football programs.
Oh, you're absolutely right. And, you know, like we were talking with Ryan, you know, Florida has been just as dysfunctional, if not more dysfunctional, when you talk about coaching stability, as Tennessee has. They've had more coaches since the turn of the century than what we have.
Yeah. They've had, they still beat us no matter what their coaching
That just shows our coaching searching ability there for a little bit, man. We were bringing in less quality than they were.
Yeah, and I heard W was talking about some polls that Heupel was, 10th in the SEC. I hope that's not the truth. End up being the year if he's that moron South Carolina was ranked above him. So
coaches?
Yeah.
I seen that ranking list. Like, they ranked him 10th among all the SEC coaches or something like that. But I think that's just going off his first year alone and then not even ranking him as a prior. That's just going off what alone he did in the SEC. And then coming in as prior to that. I mean, there's so many veteran coaches now.
How many Shane Beamer ranked above him, though? And Shane Beamer had his first coaching job, right?
Yeah, I think this is his first head coaching job. And
yeah,
he's running a clown show down there at South Carolina. I don't care what anybody says. When you're remaking the Full House intro and posting a video of it online, you're running a clown show.
Well, I hope it continues to be a clown show because I like beating them. We beat them 3 years in a row. Even Skolkan could beat them. So, I mean, you know what I'm saying?
I know. You're right. You're 100% right.
What is all this symbol for Skolkan now?
Well, he's doing the... He's doing the rehabilitation of his own image, Phil. Because, you know, his lawyer came out with that statement threatening to sue the university and that he was going to drop some information on Rick Barnes and Bobby Mays. He didn't mention anything about Tony Vitello. He didn't mention Vitello.
Well, I don't know. Rick Barnes is pretty straight by the book. I don't think he's ever had a major in NCAA sanctions. He's been a head coach, I don't think.
I don't think he has either. I mean, he's been pretty straightforward. And
I don't remember anything at Texas.
Yeah, he ran, from what we know, a clean program. Now, what his boosters and stuff were doing, we don't know, but Barnes did his best to run a clean program.
Well, I hope they still keep the NIL flowing on the basketball side because that's how they got Julian Phillips.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly how we got him. That's how we're going to end up getting a lot of these guys in the future.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of those deals we're just going to have to suck it up and deal with it. This is a part of recruiting. It's a part of basketball. It's part of football. It's part of everything going forward within college athletics.
It's big boy athletics, isn't it?
That it is.
Well, rest in peace. Ron Slay had a brother passed away, shot in Nashville. And I feel for Ron Slay tonight.
Oh, that's awful.
Yeah.
Yeah, thoughts and prayers.
One of my all-time favorite balls, old Ron Slay.
Oh, man, that's that just sucks.
Yeah, it does.
Golly.
Well, I guess I'll cheer y'all up tomorrow after I have a few beers. See you.
See you, Phil. Oh, man. Maybe call in and talk about the elitist at 3 o'clock. That's my favorite. When Phil goes off on the drive, it might be the funniest radio content you're going to hear that day. All righty. Stay with us. More Overtime coming up right after this.
Hey.
Welcome back. Overtime continues. LeBron James will extend his contract with the Los Angeles Lakers. Big news. The Hawks. Man, how'd you describe it, Davis?
Hawks got DeJounte Murray for a bag of chips.
Man.
Yeah, man. I mean, God, that backcourt, dude. They got Trae Young, DeJounte Murray, DeAndre Hunter, John Collins, Capella, Bojan Bogdanovic, and Kevin Huerter, dude. That's a pretty it's pretty nasty, man. If they can all play defense, it'd be good.
And James Harden has decided he will decline his $47.3 million option and become a free agent. Bad move or good move?
Great move.
Yeah, 100% great move.
Bradley Beal has also declined his $36.4 million option.
He's about to get a bag from somebody, man.
Just going back to Harden real quick, I think he's going to stay with them.
Yeah.
Just redo his contract so they can bolster the rest of the roster.
He's going to save them like $10.5 million, I think $11 million, to maneuver with some new pieces just to get them a ring. He said his full
Well, he's not selfish.
I mean, he can't be now. He just ruined his career being selfish last year.
Yeah.
I mean, really, can't be selfish after the season you just put on.
Oh, when he walked out with the Rockets and he looked like he
went
put
to the
on
Nets and then forced a trade to the Sixers and then basically was the third best player on the court in the playoffs.
Yeah, it was reported yesterday that the Sixers are going to sign PJ Tucker to a 3-year, $30 million deal. So we'll see what else they do. But
really?
I think that's a good pickup.
I mean, yeah, PJ Tucker's just a good person to have when you're on your team in general. He's going to give you some edge.
Yeah.
Another one is Patty Mills has declined his option.
That's just, man.
Just crazy.
You could see him going out to L.A. or something, man. They need a shooter so bad. They need somebody to just jack up threes, and don't worry, Patty Mills will shoot up 7 or 8 three-pointers a game. I mean, if that's somebody that's kind of veteran, that's what LeBron seems to always kind of go for, is somebody that's been in the league, even if he's not even close to his prime anymore. I mean, shoot, when they run that championship, Rajon was such a big part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd love to see Patty Mills or LeBron. You know, LeBron, my bad. LeBron drives in, tracks all the defense, kick out. That's what you usually give LeBron a bunch of shooters. That's when he's
The Lakers be winning next year. He may be in that point of his career. He's trying to get his chip.
Yeah, I can see the Lakers. I'm kind of interested to see what else they do this offseason, if they do anything major.
Well, you know he wants to get at least one more than Steph Curry.
No, I don't even know how much LeBron cares anymore. I mean, I think he's just such a competitive person in general. He's always going to compete for another ship. But, dude, really, after the one in Cleveland that he got, I think he's fine. Like, I don't think he cares as much as he would before. Like, you're not going to see him, like, stressing or straining himself over winning another ship. I mean, all the stuff he's done in his career, he could sit down on that. I mean, he's focused on. I mean, he's building a hospital right now.
Yeah,
that scoring record.
Yeah, I mean, that's what he's going to basically end for.
Yeah, I mean, you look, and I'm glad you mentioned, you know, get LeBron a bunch of shooters around him, and that's something that he did not have his first year in L.A. I mean, you saw what LeBron could be in the previous years when he had good players around him, and when you don't have, you know, a Booby Gibson anymore, you don't have a Mike Miller, guys that were role players, but you could count on to make shots when you needed him to make shots. You saw what it was like when he didn't have that in L.A. his first year.
Man, you need that.
Yeah, you go from first year with young Brandon Ingram, young Lonzo, young Kuzma, young Josh Hart, a bunch of young guys, trade those pieces away, get a beast and AD, get a bunch of shooters like KCP. He was already on the roster, but KCP, Danny Green,
Alex Caruso.
Yeah, Caruso. Even in the bubble, they signed people like J.R. Smith. But you just need role guys who are going to know their role, a bunch of 3-and-D guys around LeBron.
Yeah.
That's all you need.
I mean, that's how he's been the most successful. I mean, he really didn't have that when he was in Cleveland for his first stint.
No, he never had it. That's why he left.
He had Zdrunas Ilgauskas, which, funny enough, followed him to Miami. And you had Anderson Varejao.
Yeah, him leaving Cleveland was the best thing that he could have done for Cleveland. Because they were never going to be a lottery pick with him on the team.
No.
Him leaving led them to Kyrie Irving. Like a lottery pick and getting one of the best point guards in that college draft. And then he gets to just walk back in, you know, because, I mean, who's not going to take LeBron back? And it was 100% probably his plan from the beginning. He was always going to bring a championship to Cleveland. And he went down there to learn to be – I think he learned so much down in Miami with D-Wade. I think D-Wade taught him a lot about being an NBA basketball player and just being a little bit more than just the scorer, you know. He learned to be so much more down there with Miami. And that was some of his best years of basketball. Watching that team growing up was just – so much fun, those games you get to watch.
I mean, back in Cleveland, I mean, there was so much praise for Mike Brown.
Yeah.
And then you saw how, like, what he really was when he went out to L.A. and Kobe Bryant fired him after 5 games. But people can say what they want. It wasn't the Lakers that fired him. It was Kobe Bryant that fired him.
And Back to what Stackhouse said about when LeBron left Cleveland, I agree. When he went down to South Beach, the Heat have a winning culture. They literally call it Heat culture. But you learn how to win. He learned how to win from D. Wade and Pat Riley and that whole organization. And also, by them being so bad and being a lottery pick, tanking, that year they ended up with Wiggins, trading him on draft night to get Kevin Love.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that move.
The very first game he gets back with Cleveland, he has Kyrie and K-Love, so you have a big three already.
Imagine if they had never drafted Anthony Bennett. That changes the whole dynamic.
I remember that pick too, dude.
That still, everybody
in
agreement.
Who was in that draft after Anthony Bennett? Like, who would have been another option? I know it wasn't Anthony Bennett, but.
Well, I mean, regardless, everybody in the room can agree that might be the biggest draft bust of all time.
And Greg Oden.
Greg Oden
was pretty bad, which Greg Oden.
He had injuries.
Yeah, that's just.
Anthony Bennett just sucked.
Where did he go to school? Fresno State?
Who?
Anthony Bennett. Or no, he went to UNLV.
Yeah, he went to UNLV. Yeah.
And you just sat there, you looked at it, it's like.
I think Giannis was in that draft.
Oh.
But I mean, Giannis was not the same. Like,
he was a tiny, real thin Chet Holmgren dude.
Yeah.
That man, you want to talk about just making yourself into a great player, just taking what you're given at birth and just building on it. I mean, the guy's like 100 pounds different looking than he was when he's at the beginning of his career.
Oh, he did not look like an NBA All-Star when he came into the league. That's for sure.
Let's see. Who else was in this?
Back when the buzz cut was still popular.
Yeah, Anthony Bennett was first. This was the
Oladipo
2013 draft. Yeah, Oladipo was second.
All right.
C.J. McCollum was drafted 10th. Michael Carter Williams, who looked good his first year, but overall kind of a bust. 11th. Giannis was drafted 15th. Schroeder was drafted 17th. And Rudy Gobert was drafted 27th.
Yeah. Man, you want to talk about some good role players that are in this draft?
Rudy Gobert.
I mean,
we didn't mention Bradley Beal.
Hardaway Jr.'s in that. I mean, he's going to be, man, they're going to be pretty good down there in Dallas when Hardaway gets back. Now that they got who they just traded for?
Christian Wood.
Yeah.
From the Rockets.
Yeah, dude. That's a pretty good team. That's Kelly Olynyk was in this draft. Steven Adams. Trey Burke. Y'all remember how good Nerlens Noel was supposed to be?
He was supposed to be good at traded. Kentucky. Yeah, he just stayed hurt, dude.
Yeah. Cody Zeller. I remember.
Oh, man.
He's still in the league. He's still collecting that check.
Who does he play for now?
Hornets.
Does he still play for Charlotte?
95% sure.
That's insane.
The Hornets ever hire a head coach?
Yeah, they hired Steve Clifford, their old coach.
Oh, yeah, they hired their old coach. Oh, yeah, we talked about that. That was weird.
Should bring some sort of stability, though. Like, they played like such high school basketball, it felt like Charlotte did. It was just loosey-goosey, I felt like. Just bring a coach that can put some stability in a defense, and you're fine. I mean, they can shoot lights out. I mean, between depending on what Miles Bridges does for them, which I don't expect him really going anywhere. He just fits so well with LaMelo.
No. I was listening to another sports talk show earlier from Memphis, and they're talking about maybe the potential of the Grizzlies signing Miles Bridges, but with him posting pictures of him sipping lean and smoking, they might rethink that.
That dude's insane. All of Charlotte's players are just wilding out. You got him doing the lean. What was it? Montrezl Harrell got arrested with 3 P's. A personal smoke.
I can't believe.
A Honda Pilot or something?
Yeah.
He was in a Honda Pilot.
Yeah.
Montrezl Harrell coming from Kentucky. And it's like, dude, did you not think you were going to get caught?
Where did he just get it, though? Like, gosh, man. Who's
probably
got,
from somebody in Louisville.
Who's got pressure like that up in Kentucky, dude? Supplying an NBA basketball player. You can just go to Cali, man. That's such a weird. What a predicament to put yourself in as a professional athlete in Kentucky.
I mean, at least hire somebody.
God, there's so many ways around this that I cannot figure out what was going on in his mind to even be there.
I mean, that's the thing. Is like, there's so many things you could do, which. I get those guys are on the road a lot. But, I mean, this happened in May.
It's off season.
Honda Fit, bro.
A Honda Pilot.
Pilot?
If he was in a Honda Fit, he wouldn't have been
fit in there.
I was going to say, he wasn't fitting in a Honda Fit.
I keep picturing him in this tiny, tiny Honda. That's all I'm thinking about. It's so funny.
Yeah, I mean, something that a lot of people don't think about. You hear a lot talked about with NBA players, like, oh, well, look at how much money they make. They shouldn't be complaining about anything. People don't realize, especially like with NBA, MLB, and even NHL, like how much these guys travel. They travel a lot. Not as much as like a WWE guy, but they still travel a lot.
They're still getting all the five-star hotels and
first class.
Yeah, exactly.
But still, it's rough being on the road.
I mean, some of these guys might be like me. You might have to be drunk to get on a plane.
That's true, though. Some people just cannot fly. Just have to be like either like knocked out or what, something.
Yeah, dude, my first flight, I was fine. And then the next year is when we went overseas. And they put us on the smallest, crappiest plane that United could find, or Continental, whoever we flew through. And it was awful. I've been terrified of planes ever since because of that one pilot.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm okay with planes. Really, it's just like the comfort of it. I can't go on a plane ride almost more than 6 hours without just wanting to end my life up in the clouds, man. It's not a comfortable seat unless you're in. I guess I've never even flew business class. Is that better than economy? What's the difference in that?
Economy, business, and then.
And then first
plus, and then first class.
Yeah. There's so many classes now. Yeah, I've never flown anything more than economy. I mean, I fly them cheap flights, baby. I'm taking my life at risk every time.
Every single time.
Mohican Air, baby.
What's the worst plane you've ever been on?
Like plane company or plane ride?
Plane ride.
I don't know. I guess the worst was waiting on my flight from. It's like I flew back from Colorado. And we had to go to D.C. to fly to Knoxville. But waiting in D.C. like 4 hours inside the airport was just horrible.
Yeah, that. We'll save that conversation coming up here at the top of the hour. Oh man, we're about to go down a rabbit hole. I've got a few.
Stop flying.
Man, yeah. I need. After you hear this, you're going to tell me that again, and I'm probably going to end up having to stop flying because it's so bad.
I like driving cross country.
Would not be opposed to that, but not with gas prices the way they are. All right, hour number one in the books. Hour number two of Overtime coming up right here on Fan Run Radio.